You're listening to the Jason Gregor Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. It's Black Friday all month. Over 100 remaining, 217 models to choose from. 0% interest financing available on every unit, and prices reduced up to $10,500. Check it out, Lakewood Chev.
Josh Lundberg joins us, has covered the Raptors for many years, knows them inside and out. And Josh, obviously, you look at Boston's schedule. If you look at it, just the road games against the West, Toronto should have an advantage there. How important is first place for the Raptors, and do you think they're going to, you know, make a strong push to get there? Does it make that much of a difference for them, because they likely then could potentially avoid Boston and Cleveland until the conference final?
No, they're going for it this year, Jason. I think they've been going for it the last 2 years, maybe 3 years, I guess I should say, but the difference this year is they're not being coy about it. They're not dancing around it like they have in years past, where they give you sort of the company line, we're just taking it day by day. No, Dwayne Casey came out last week and said, that's our goal. How much it will actually help them if they do get it, I mean, that remains to be seen. I still think, as much as Cleveland is struggling and there's all that drama over there, I still think it sort of depends on where the Cavs end up. You could finish first, and while that would be great, what if the Cavs fall to fourth? Then they're in the same situation the Raptors are as they were last year, where you could potentially run into Cleveland in the second round. I think ideally you'd still rather wait until the conference finals, assuming you get that far, to face Cleveland. So that's probably still the number one priority. That said, you can't control that. You can't worry about that. So for the Raptors, absolutely. I do think it makes sense to shoot for the first seed, not at any cost. I still think you've got to be cautious of Lowry and DeRozan's minutes. You don't want to overuse them. You still have the postseason in mind. But at the same time, if you're facing winning situations, friendlier schedule, as you talked about, there's an opportunity here to get that first seed, and it would make a difference, I think, given how well the Raptors have played at the ACC this year, the second best home record in the NBA, to have home court advantage locked up through the conference finals. Again, assuming you get that far, that is something that could pay dividends for the Raptors down the road.
Looking at the Raptors, do you see them making a move at the deadline? Do they need something to ensure that they could beat LeBron or the Celtics?
I think there are a couple areas where they'd like to upgrade. They could use an improved three-point shooter, a better three-point shooter to add to the rotation. They also have had their issues on the boards as well. The thing is, I look at this Raptors situation this season, and they don't really have the means to make a big move in the same way that they had last year, of course, when they went out and they got Ibaka and they got PJ Tucker around this time of the year. First of all, they're hard capped, a result of their sign and trade for CJ Miles over the summer, which means that there's limited flexibility in terms of how much salary they can take on. So you pretty much have to take whatever it is that you're giving up. Second of all, unlike last year where the Raptors used a pick to go out and get Serge Ibaka from Orlando, they don't really have first rounders to give up. They traded their first rounder for 2018 in the deal that allowed them to dump Damari Carroll's salary to Brooklyn over the summer, and they're also not able to trade their 2019 pick until over the summer. So fewer assets to work with there. And then while they had that sort of attractive contract of Terrence Ross's to dangle last year, the equivalent to that this year would probably be Norman Powell making about the same after he signed his extension, sort of same position. The problem is they can't move him until the summer after they signed him to an extension a couple months ago. So their hands are tied a little bit. I would be very surprised for that reason if they do go out and make a big splash. Maybe they make a small deal, but I think if you look at Masai Ujiri's body of work, he prefers to do his heavy lifting during the summer, and that's what I would imagine will be the case again here.
Josh Lundberg joins us discussing the Toronto Raptors. And you know, the Raptors, when you look at them, you know, the one thing I keep reading about, people are like, okay, do they have enough three-point shooting? Is it good enough? Because that's really where the game is at a lot of times now. Rightly or wrongly, traditionalists or not, the three-point shooting has become a major part of the game. DeRozan has improved on it, Josh. I'm not sure he's improved enough yet. Is it still a major sticking point, or do you see it as just a minor sticking point now for them?
No, I mean, I think it's been a major sticking point to this point of the season, in that they've clearly altered their philosophy to the point in which they're taking more threes. They're fifth in the NBA in terms of attempts, but they're still in the bottom five, bottom six in the NBA in terms of percentage. So they're taking them. They're just not making enough of them. And I think it comes down to personnel, because that was the big question going into training camp. Do they have enough shooting on the roster to play this way? I mean, they added C.J. Miles, which theoretically helps. I think it has helped to a degree, probably not as much as they thought it would. We thought it would. He's been very streaky. And while that's sort of the reality with these three-point shooting specialists, it's peaks and valleys. I do think they need him and want him to be better here down the stretch in order to justify having gone out and got him. Kyle Lowry has also been up and down. Serge Ibaka, same thing. So they need their three-point shooters to be better. And then, as you mentioned, DeMar DeRozan, DeLon Wright, OG Anunoby, these are guys that are on sort of the cusp of being able to shoot the three. They've shown they can do it, but it's certainly not a big part of their repertoire, at least not yet. They're going to need internal growth in that area because, like I said, it's very unlikely that the Raptors go out, make a big splash, and add a guy that comes in and maybe does anything more than Miles. Like, maybe you can go out and get a guy like Miles to add to the rotation or at least be an emergency guy that only shoots threes. But to go out and get a guy that shoots threes yet is also an upgrade at a position where he knocks somebody out of the rotation, that seems unlikely. So they will need other guys to be able to step up to become accustomed to taking threes and to do it with more reliability down the stretch.
What do you make of the Blake Griffin trade? And because it might impact Toronto in the sense that the Detroit, if they get in the playoffs, likely are probably going to be the eighth seed and they'd face him. Is that a big concern, or is Detroit, you know, not that good of a team even with Griffin?
Yeah, it's a very minor concern, Jason. I'm not sure what to make of the deal, to be honest. As you mentioned, it's two teams that are in a similar situation that are sort of now headed in opposite directions. To me, Detroit is saying there's value in squeezing into the playoffs, maybe getting a couple of home games in the first round, and then that's it. The Clippers are clearly saying, okay, well, what's the point? That's not good enough. If we're not going to be better than that, let's retool and rebuild and go in the opposite direction. And when I look at the Pistons, that's what I see, a team whose ceiling is probably the seventh seed, maybe is a bit of a deterrent, a bit of a pain for somebody in the first round, in that they do have some talent there, but not enough of it. Griffin and Drummond, that front court pairing is going to be intriguing. I do think, given the time to get comfortable with each other, they can build some good chemistry, but they don't have enough depth. They don't have enough on the wing. They don't have enough guard talent on that roster. They don't have enough shooting. So they put a lot of eggs into that one basket. They've got a lot of money invested in those two players that I mentioned, as well as Reggie Jackson, who, like Blake Griffin, is injury prone. So they don't have a lot of means with which to go out and surround those guys with talent, not this year and not in the years to come. And by giving up a draft pick in the trade for Blake, that's one less piece that they can use to go out and bring in talent. So I think they've gotten a little bit better here. And as I said, I think maybe they can steal another game or two from somebody in the playoffs, whereas before I'm not even sure they'd even make the playoffs, but that's pretty much their ceiling here. I don't see them as a big threat to the Raptors or anyone else at the top of the East.
Josh, great to catch up with you. Will be an interesting stretch run here as the Raptors try to finish first in the Eastern Conference. That'd be the first time. They've never finished number one, have they?
They've never finished number one.
I think so. Yeah, well, hopefully they get there. It would be massive for them to avoid Boston and Cleveland potentially till the third round of the playoffs.
Yes, sir. All right, Jason. Talk to you soon.